Well, it's nice meeting you, Bob, and I know we had a rough start there on the phone. You didn't sound too thrilled about coming in. So hopefully, I hope we can...
like I really wanted to be here. I was forced to be here, and I didn't want to be here out of my own free will. And the bottom line was, I had this young punk that was trespassing in my yard, and I'm like, I'm trying to leave. Get out of my yard.
Get out of me. Yeah. So really, you felt like they were blaming you. They were blaming you for just defending what was yours, defending your own property and whatever.
That's right, because it was my own turf. You know what I'm saying? And what right does he have trespassing in my yard?
Uh-huh. Well, tell me more about that, because, of course, as you know, I have the police reports, I have the court's take on it, but part of the reason that, you're in therapy, it gives me a chance to hear your take on the person trespassing in your yard, and I hear that you're angry. I hear you say, mine. It's like, this is my yard, this is my property, this is my turf. So tell me a little bit about, from your version, what was going on that day.
Well, of course it's my yard, because I paid for it. I bought it. Basically, this young punk was just hanging out, just walking through, and I had asked him to leave, and he just looked at me like I was crazy.
Oh, so you asked him. So you just went up to him nicely. So I hear you saying young punk, so you're angry, but and so you just walked up to him and said, sir, please, in a nice way, or?
Actually, I said, hey, buddy, you're trespassing.
Uh-huh.
You need to leave my yard. But the bottom line was, he looked at me like I wasn't even in existence. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to ask you again. You need to leave my yard.
Uh-huh.
And then he pressed the issue. And I'm like, all right, buddy, you asked for it. I'm getting you off of my yard.
Okay, so you felt like he didn't even give you the time of day that you, so it sounds like you feel like, if people don't respect you, it's your job to make them respect you.
That's right, because the bottom line is these young whippersnappers coming up nowadays, no respect at all for anything. No respect for authority, no respect for people, no respect for even people's property, and the bottom line is, I was going to teach him some respect.
Okay, wow. Okay, so I'm hearing a few things. So I'm hearing, if I hear you right, correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying it's your yard, your territory, so it should be your rules and your boundaries with him. And if he doesn't listen to it, then you'll make him listen to it, if I heard you right.
That's right. And the bottom line is this.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even think about any rules in our society nowadays. And... With these young punks coming around, they think they can just do anything they want and just run ragged and just do whatever and not show any respect to anybody.
So it sounds like you felt you had a responsibility to straighten things with him. Tell me a little more about that, about what you felt your responsibility was. I've heard you say real clear his responsibility should have basically been to listen to you, to respect your property, to get the heck out. But what did you feel your responsibility in the mess of him intruding was?
My responsibility, I felt, was this simple. It was like this. He needed to know who was boss. He needed to know that he was not going to trespass on my property, and I was going to be the enforcer to let him know that this is not going to fly. And guess what, buddy? You got to leave.
Okay, so that's an interesting word, enforcer. Okay, let's use that word, because I want to understand what you're saying by enforcer. Tell me about the role of the enforcer. Are there any other times in your life that you've had to be an enforcer or that you felt you've had to take matters into your own hands?
Yes, I had to be an enforcer even when I was growing up. There were times when people were getting out of line, even at the playground. They were starting fights for no reason at all, tearing up the playground. And it's like, you know what? No, I'm not going to let it happen.
So, tell me about your enforcing. What did you do to enforce the rules? Now, how old were you at this time that you're talking about? I mean,
I'm talking about when I was 11 years old with this incident.
Okay, at 11 years old, you were the enforcer when the kids were out of line, and your job was what as the enforcer?
I removed them from the playground.
Okay, you picked them up? You got a teacher?
What did any means necessary.
Okay, so your job, if I hear you right, whether it's the troublemaker young man on your property lately, or whether it's the 11-year-old boy, is remove the problem. Move it out, either by asking or by force.
You got it.
Okay.
I give them a chance. And then when they don't see the light, well, sometimes I would light them up.
You'd light them up? So that's another job of the enforcer?
Yes.
Okay, you'd light them up. Help me understand that, because I want to make sure I understand this concept of light them up.
It was this simple. It was like this.
Oh, okay. Let me see. So I saw a fast-going fist. I don't want to make any assumptions here. So are you saying by your body language that light him up means you'd physically let him know you mean business and physically dispose
him? That's right.
Okay.
If I had to drag him and remove him that way, pick them up and remove him that way, or sock him in their lights.
Okay, so if I hear you, it almost sounds like there was a unspoken rule you grew up with, and correct me if I'm wrong. If the words don't work, the actions will speak louder than the words, and I will let my actions speak volumes.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, this is curious to me, because obviously you know that the courts have wanted you here in this therapy, and law enforcement's concerned because the way you acted towards the neighbor boy that was trespassing, even though he was trespassing, they felt you overstepped your boundaries, and some of the other things when you pulled your gun at somebody else a while ago and they cut through your yard and stuff. So they have another take on being the enforcer. They seem to have another opinion. And so they think that the lighting it up, or however you put it, wasn't really necessary. That maybe you should have dealt with it a different way.
Why would I have to deal with it a different way when the guy was on my property illegally, uninvited, and I had already asked him, not once, but twice, get off my yacht.
So you feel that the courts are being irrational.
That's right.
It's not that you went first to pulling a gun or lighting up a person or pounding their lights out, that you didn't resort to that until after a verbal warning. So the court shouldn't be on your case now, if I
hear
you right.
That's right.
Yeah, they're being too hard on you.
They've been too hard on me.
They don't understand you.
No.
Okay, so let's pretend Judge So-and-so's here now. I'm here to hear your story. Remember, what is it that you would want to tell the judge if they had to just listen? Because it sounds like you feel they're not understanding your take.
I'd want the judge to know, enforce the law. That's their job.
You'd want them to do something to enforce the kid being off your property.
That's right. Law and order and justice.
Okay. So let's go back to the scenario you said about the young man intruding on your property. It sounds like the one thing, even though it only feels like one thing, that you and the courts agree with is that it is your property, that you own it, and things.
That's right.
And I know that's a strong point for you because you feel like on your property, it's your right what you want to do with things. Because
I don't go on their property and do that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What gives them the right to do it on mine?
So would there have been any other way of being the enforcer? Or I'm wondering, have you ever been in a position where you were not the enforcer? Because I really hear, honestly, I hear that you pride yourself on being the enforcer in life. That's actually been something that's worked for you. It worked on the playground. You didn't take crap from people. You disposed of the problem, so to speak. But somehow it's not working now.
It's always worked for me before.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what it is that they don't see, because the bottom line is the young man did something that shouldn't have been done.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed to learn.
He needed to learn. Unfortunately, he's not the one here in counseling, that they seem to disagree about this role of enforcer. And so I'm just wondering, would there be any other way that the court might be thinking about that you could have enforced things without punching or yelling or taking matters into your own hands?
Well, the bottom line is this.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't tell me anything. And the cops have a tendency of not showing up when we as citizens call them.
Mm-hmm.
For legitimate things, they don't respond.
Mm-hmm.
Just like me and a neighbor called the cops when there was a drug deal going down. We didn't see hide or hair of them.
Mm-hmm. And I know you told me in previous sessions, I'm remembering back, I'm trying to connect some pieces here. You said that in your community growing up, in this community that you live in now, you feel like you're treated differently because in this community, the way the police or law enforcement or courts deal with it is, oh, you're from there.
Exactly. And there's good people here.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, they're not doing their job.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's good people here. Help me understand what kind of person you describe yourself as. So we've heard that you're an enforcer. You want justice done. You want the quote-unquote right things to happen. And if they're not going to do them, you'll do them. If the law enforcement or the courts or the whoever. What else do you want people to know about what type of person you are?
You know, well, we don't want the drugs and all that stuff going around in the neighborhood. It's ruining the rest of the neighborhood.
So even though the court seemed to think that they're concerned about what they see as they believe is an angry reaction by you towards the youth that was on your property, there are parts of you that are genuinely concerned that you're not this bad person through and through.
Right. You know, because the bottom line is we don't want the riffraff taking over the neighborhood. We don't want the drugs running in here. We don't want the crime going off in here. And if the police, if they won't respond, what is we as the citizens have left to do?
That's an interesting question. So let's think of the answer to that question. I mean, I know sometimes we all do it. We're like, what do we have left to do? Let's see what the answer to that might be. What do you have left to do? I mean, when you don't feel like the police are being the enforcers, when you've had to be an enforcer at 11 years old, you've had to be an enforcer, according to what you share with me, with the recent incident, what is there left to do? Besides what you've done, is there one other option that's left to do?
You know what? I don't know, because we don't want total anarchy going around here, and they don't seem to see that as this is what'll happen. And that's what is upsetting a lot of the people in this neighborhood, is the fact that we just want to have a neighborhood just like everybody else and not have it overrun by gangs, violence, and all of this other stuff. And so we feel that we have to fight back.
Okay. So one of the phrases I heard you say is we have to. So, it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like you feel like your hands are tied and you don't have another option. So, in answer to the question, what other option do we have when this stuff comes our way? You feel like you, quote, have to take matters into your own hands.
That's right. We have to take back our neighborhood. We're not going to let these riffraffs run us out of our neighborhood.
Okay, so the courts and the law enforcement seem to have a position that they think there might be a different answer to that question of what can we do other than take matters into our own hands. For example, some of the detectives and people that I've talked to about this recent incident seem to think that even though you feel like law enforcement really isn't there for you or your neighbors, that at least you could have tried to show that you called and waited and gotten them involved rather than trying to do it on your own. What do you make of that?
That's what they think. Because like I said before, we've called before, no shows. Where are they? This crime is going on. Where are they? And we're eyewitnessing this stuff. Where are they? I thought their job was to protect and serve, but where are they?
You said protect and serve. Could I? Would it be suitable for me to substitute the word, their job is to enforce?
There you go.
The enforcer. I think I'm going to give you a new title here. Sounds like if you were a modern superhero, your name would be the enforcer, huh?
That's right.
And you really pride yourself on that.
Oh, yeah.
You're the sort of like the guardian of the neighborhood.
Yep.
Yes, it even sounds like not just on your own property, but the other neighbors really come alongside you, look up to you as, you know, like the papa of the neighborhood that you're looking out for everybody.
Exactly. Because they're not protecting us. We got to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You have to. There's no other option. There's no other option to... So, if someone... Let's say there was one person in the neighborhood. Maybe not you. Maybe not most of the people in the neighborhood. But let's say someone moves in the neighborhood with a different mentality and they didn't grow up with the idea of the enforcer. You know? And they actually...
That's different.
That would be different. That would be a shock. I know. That would... You know? And so they didn't know you were a pop enforcer. They didn't know the neighbors didn't really buy into the police thing. So they actually called law enforcement. They actually kind of did things, quote, by the letter or by the book. You think the outcome would have been any different?
If they don't show up, no.
So if. So it sounds like there's an assumption that they definitely won't show up.
After how many times we've gone through it around this neighborhood. Like I said, drug dealers, broad daylight, dealing right there. We're seeing them. We call them. Where are they?
So, if I hear you right, it's the police and law enforcement's fault that the youth in your yard was not handled properly. I'm sorry.
Yes, because it seems like if I could use the old school words, they're in cahoots with them almost.
Mm.
That's what we feel like.
So just like you have your group of you know, the neighbors that pull together for enforcement purposes, as we said, you feel like the police have their little team of people.
Yeah.
And it almost sounds, and I hate to interrupt, but it almost sounds like you feel like they're sort of almost like plotting against you, or not that they're even really for you, that you don't even believe that they really care about what happens in your world.
Some of them are crooked.
Mm-hmm. Some are.
Some of them are crooked.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that one that we heard about where they had the evidence of the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the evidence disappears.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Come on now.
So I hear you. There's crooked people in the courts. There's crooked people in law enforcement. And law enforcement, in your opinion, and the neighbor's opinion, hasn't been there for you guys. You have not felt supported. You and your neighbors have had to be strong, quote unquote, in a certain way for yourselves.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So it's a positive, you feel, to have to protect yourself. Sort of like if someone is not looking out for you, you're going to look out for you.
Yep. Because we don't need this bit of lawlessness going around. It's just bad.
Mm-hmm. So again, if I hear you, it almost sounds like the fault here, in your opinion, is not so much that you ended up beating up the kid that was on your property, but that it's that you feel like the police didn't act quick enough to remove him.
That's right. And sometimes people in the neighborhood feel like that they are being targeted, even though they're not the ones breaking the law.
Mm-hmm. Targeted, that's a strong word. So on the one hand, you're saying that the police basically don't give a darn about your neighborhood, that they take forever to get involved in anything, they don't respond, they don't care. But in another way, I hear you saying that they care an awful lot. They care enough to even target you. So help me understand those two.
Well, it's like this. All right. Joe over here, walking down the street, going to work, minding his own business.
Mm-hmm.
And they stop and pull Joe over just because he's walking to work. Even though Joe didn't do anything wrong. Joe was not jaywalking. He didn't do anything. Didn't commit any crime. But yet, you know, if somebody goes over here to Ritzyville and starts robbing the house, they respond right away. But yet, when we have these issues happening over here, where are you?
So let's move away from the example of Joe, and I'm going to look here at the police report and some of the court stuff, some of the copies of the records we have, so I make sure I'm reading from the police reports. So in your example you just gave, you said innocent Joe was walking to work and was targeted. According to the police report, and again, I'm not here to referee, is the police right? Are you right? I'm just here because the court said you need anger management counseling.
That's
you
their
need
opinion.
To. It is your opinion. And unfortunately, their opinion counts for a lot because now they're deciding because based on this paper, they're saying that you've assaulted this kid. He ended up in the hospital with broken bones, with bruises on his body, needing surgeries. Ending up having some traumatic stress, some fears about even walking around that part of your neighborhood anymore. So I'm wondering, is it the same as the innocent Joe? Because the court doesn't seem to think that. They seem to think innocent Joe's different from, in their opinion, aggressive enforcer.
Yeah, and that little punk had a knife on him too.
So,
and I was defending myself, because if that guy pulled that knife on me,
You said if he pulled the knife on you. So he didn't actually pull the knife on you.
He reached for it. But I made sure he didn't get it.
So it seems like you both reached for stuff. He reached for the knife. You reached for the enforcement tool, so to speak.
Yep.
So I'm not sure if you're hearing where the court, and again, I'm not suggesting you should agree necessarily with their way of thinking, but I'm wondering if you're even hearing where they might be coming from of, it's one thing innocent Joe to be targeting walking down the street who's minding his own business and just going to his car versus Bob in the court's eyes picking on a neighborhood teenager who's several decades younger than him, who has a pocket knife on him, and might be a snotty teenager, but hasn't attacked him, but yet was attacked back. So you see how the court's looking at it. They're not quite looking at it the same.
No, they're not. Because I was not about to be stabbed.
But I heard you just a little bit ago said, if he came at me with a knife. So they're saying, So here's the thing. I'm not counseling that young kid. If I agree with you that he's a punk or he's whatever, he's not my client. You're my client. So I want to help you in terms of understanding what we need to do, as you'd probably put it, to get the courts and law enforcement off your case. Because you don't feel, from everything you've said so far, you don't feel like they're your biggest supporters. You feel like they're against you. You feel like they're, quote, targeting you. And according to this paper that I just read from, they are seeming to see you as a perpetrator of assault, at least is how they have it documented here. So, what would you say about that?
Perpetrator instead of protector? Well, I disagree with that part.
Mm-hmm. So, if I hear you right, the assault piece makes a difference in your mind if you think you're defending yourself or your property or your neighborhood versus if you're maliciously just going after an innocent kid walking down the street.
Exactly. Because if that kid was just walking down the street, not trespassing, let him go do whatever he wants to do. It's none of my business.
Mm-hmm. But what about when that innocent kid, or quote-unquote innocent kid, trespasses through your property?
Like I said, I warned him to remove himself from the property.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him to leave.
Can you remind me of the exact words you used? So I just make sure, I really want to get this full picture. So, you discover some kids on your land or your property that shouldn't be there, and you feel like your space is being invaded. And then what happens?
I said, hey, buddy, do you know you're trespassing?
Okay, so you asked him a question.
Yes. And then I said, you are trespassing. Could you get off of my yacht?
Mm-hmm. So you phrased it as a question.
Yep.
Sounds like you tried to say it in a nice way. Now let me try to picture too. Where were you standing, or where was he standing when all this was happening? Were you out in the yard, or opening the door, or what was going on?
I was coming back from my backyard.
Oh, so it sounds like it was a surprise then that he was there.
Yes.
Okay. So you asked him.
It wasn't like he was coming to my door to knock on my door or anything like that to see me or ask me a question.
Okay, so you said, could you please remove yourself from the property? And then?
then he gave me this look like I was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, I'm going to ask you again.
Mm-hmm.
You're trespassing. Could you please remove yourself from the yard? And then he gave me one of them snively looks like, I'm not going to move type of look.
Okay. What kind of look do you think he might have seen from you?
He should have seen from me that I was serious and letting him know that he was trespassing.
So, are you saying it was an angry look or... I don't want to put words in your mouth. So you're saying he had a snide look.
Right.
So even if we were to agree and that you felt he was kind of a punk attitude teenager that wouldn't listen, like I said, again, he's not my client here. You are. So what might he have seen from you? So your words said, could you please leave? Your words were phrased as a question. What kind of body language might he have seen from you, especially by the second time you're asking him?
I hope that he saw that I was serious, but I was just standing there waiting to see what he was going to do.
Okay.
If he was going to respond or leave.
You were just standing there. Help me understand between the just standing there and... where this police report of assault comes in. There seems to be a little bit of gap in between there.
Right. And then, here's what happened. He got there. I saw the knife in his pocket, because you could tell it was kind of bulging out. You could see the tip of it. And I saw him reach for that thing. And I said, hey, buddy, I don't want no trouble. You better leave.
Okay, so he reached for the knife, but that is a little different from what you said earlier of, I thought he was going to stab me. So he didn't have the knife out. He wasn't coming at you with a knife. So you see, you know, that's a little different than like what they put in the police report here about the... you know, the young man, the people witnessing that he had these bruises on his body. It's not like he scraped you with a knife or he grabbed you and pulled the knife out and had it up to your throat.
Because I wasn't going to let him get that far.
Yep, the enforcer's at work, huh?
Yep.
So I think what it boils down to, it seems like there's a debate at hand here. The court, the lawyers, they want to be the enforcer. In this corner, we got law enforcement. Enforcer 1 versus enforcer 2. And from where I see it, it's almost like you're like, not that you'd say this to them, but almost like, well, doggone it, if you're not going to be a good enforcer, I've always been the enforcer. I'll show you how that's supposed to be done.
All I'm saying is, do your job.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been told all the time, do my job.
But they weren't aware of what was going on. Like you said, that you didn't inform them. You were already, if I heard you right, and correct me if I'm wrong, because it sounded like you said earlier that you and the neighbors know, you're certain that law enforcement takes their time, that they, you feel, have a bias against people in your neighborhood. So you feel like that you didn't want to have a reason to even call them. You didn't allow them a chance to even do their job. Even if they'd be delayed, even if they'd take an hour, even if they'd whatever, that you didn't allow there to be another enforcer.
Especially when you keep seeing from them all the time. Like I told you before about... we report real crimes to them, no shows. But yet, there was an instance where we have this lady, we call her Barbecue Becky. And the reason why we call her Barbecue Becky is, can you believe that she called the cops on a family that was over there in the park, minding their own business, just barbecuing, and she called the cops on them and they weren't doing nothing. and they showed up because of that ridiculous call Barbecue Becky, who's not even from this neighborhood, made.
So one of the things, I hear your frustration, but one of my jobs is to make sure that I'm focused on being able, at the end of this, you know, in case you didn't know, I got to give a report. They want us to spend a couple months in this anger management, in this counseling, see if you're showing up, see how it's going, see if you're open to learning any techniques for, as they might put it, controlling your anger.
Well, you see that I'm here.
Yeah, you're here. I give you, hey, five, high five. I give you that. You are here. You know, you got a point there, Mr. Enforcer. You got a point. Because you know what? A lot of people don't show up. A lot of people, when they feel like the courts are against them, the law's against them, whatever, they don't show up. So that is something, based on today, in the last few initial sessions we had, that I will be able to say. And I'd like to be able to say that. Because I can't promise that these sessions won't get frustrating. There's going to be times where you might even wonder if I'm like law enforcement, if I'm one of them, if I'm one of, you know. And again, my goal is not to be on their side or your side. My role is not a mediator. My role is a therapist. And so my role is, I'm not going to predict that you will or won't be accused of assault again, or that you will or won't have any involvement with the courts, but to see if you are showing up, if you're willing to learn some anger management things, if maybe we can come to some solutions of stuff that might be alternatives. Because I think we need to think a little more about that question that you posed earlier. Because really it was a brilliant question about, you know, pretty much what other options do you have? You know, why should I even, you know, is there anything else? Because I'm not saying they're good options or options you're used to or that are automatic for you. But I think one of the things that could help you, honestly, in the future with anger and with maybe feeling like if an incident ever happened in the future, that law enforcement might be there a little more for you, might be if you didn't go to enforcer mode as quickly, you know? And I know for you, you're saying, I ask them a question and leave once. I ask them the question twice. But they're looking at, whoa, within an hour or so, according to this report again, the kid was assaulted and had to go to a hospital. And they're thinking, okay, even if it took an hour or so for the police to come and have to track down that boy and put him in handcuffs and carry him off, at least you wouldn't have had to enjoy my company and this therapy that is taking up time you'd probably rather do something else with. So.
Oh, yeah. I'd rather be working in my yard right now.
Your yard? That's, so there's things you'd rather be doing. So my hope is through our therapy, we can come up with a way. You know, one thing I do agree with, to get the law enforcement off your case, to limit the amount of therapy you have to do in the future, and to sort of like redeem your reputation and your image. But I can't do that for you. Again, I'm not suggesting you would agree with law enforcement or think they're your friend. I'm not suggesting that you agree with the court's perception or that you perfectly agree with this paper about the police report. But the fact of the matter is, we all know there's an ongoing trial. We all know they're going to make some determinations. We all know the family of the kid, because he was a minor, wants some action taken, and they're on their high horse about his injuries. So this isn't necessarily just going to be wrapped up quickly. What do you feel you need the most from me? I know you've always been the enforcer, and that's something you've really prided yourself on, and kind of something you've held your, you know, yourself alone, that you've been able to enforce things. Now you got a therapist, me, in the mix. What would you like to see from this counseling and therapy.
I want to see my innocence proven. And that's something I know that my lawyer is going to help me out with. I did go get a good lawyer.
So, that's a law type thing. That's not a role I can be in. But tell me about what role you'd like me to be in. As a therapist, with you basically being mandated to come to talk with me and us having to come up with some things for decision making, anger management and things when you feel there's an intrusion in the future. Because there will be. It might not be a punk kid on your property. It might be someone else brushing up against your car in a grocery parking lot. It might be someone else, whatever, in the neighborhood or on a job. How can I help you?
I want to find out about how they can take these issues more serious.
Okay, let me repeat that. There's a different tone I'm noticing even in our voices here. It sounds like something's become a little bit more calmer in our session. You're saying, I want to find out how people can take these issues more seriously. Now that sounds pretty proactive. So you'd like to get a little more information about how maybe things could be amended and made better in your community so that the community representatives, the homeowners, the law enforcement, whoever's in the businesses and the schools, that it felt like it was a team, like it wasn't them against us.
Exactly. Because we have always felt that it's been them against us.
I mean, I don't know if you're hearing what I'm saying, but do you notice the calm, more calmness in our voice? That's a huge task for the enforcer. Because you know what? That might not get done quickly. Like you said, if there's years of a certain mentality in your neighborhood, just like there's years of a certain mentality amongst the law enforcement or the courts or the kids going through people's yards or whatever it may be, it's probably not going to change quick. So I'm wondering if maybe in our next session or our future session, maybe we can be thinking about, and I'm not saying this is an easy thing to think about, how someone who, and I say this in a humorous way, is rather impatient, the way you are about wanting to enforce things and see action, can maybe get a little more comfortable with the process of learning the rules, learning the laws, learning what things are, maybe getting more involved in your community. If there's a neighborhood association, if there's some things in the schools, if there's some mentoring projects, if there's some, you know, because it sounds like you are passionate about that. But unfortunately, really looking at this police report, I'm thinking they don't see that kind of passion. They're seeing criminal assault man, enforcer, danger, danger to the community, danger, you know, someone we got to mark. So is that something you'd be willing to explore? Maybe in the future sessions we could look at what how you want that image to be changed. We might not be able to change the law enforcement. We might not be able to change the other people. But maybe helping you become, in a healthy way, a pillar of support in the community and seeing how these different forces could work together. Again, that takes time. That takes a lot of time. It might take years. It might take a lot of re-education. It might, there might be a lot of frustrations along the way. But that's something that you're really wanting to do?
If it's our options, let's look at it.
That's a big difference. So I like to give people homework for sessions. I know homework is like, great, I got to go to these sessions, now homework too.
Boy, and I already had graduated from high school and college.
Well.
And now I'm going back to school.
So now we're going to do it again. Okay. This one could be a little bit fun. Is between now and next week when we meet again. And I'm assuming you're going to be showing up, so I can tell the court that you're showing up next week too.
You see that I'm here right now.
Yep, I sure do, like I said. So, if you could be imagining this new and improved neighborhood, and what role you would like to have in it. Again, not the roles of the other people, because we can't magically change the police, we can't change law enforcement, the, what do you call, Barbecue Betty, and all those other
Barbecue
ones.
Barbecue Becky.
Oh, Becky, Betty, whatever, BB, I'll just remember that. But, anyway, so, we can't change them. I think one important skill we can learn with anger management is, what do we focus on? If we focus so much on those doggone police out to get me, what are they going to do now? No one handles anything. Whether you feel it's true or not, then it will make you feel miserable and helpless and like your hands are tied. And you could only be the enforcer. But maybe, besides the enforcer, maybe there could be other roles you'd be in if maybe you could imagine what it might be like to educate yourself on some of the laws, to educate yourself on what are the community meetings or the town hall meetings or the school things or what you could get started. See, one thing I'm learning about you, maybe the court doesn't know it yet, but is you're a leader. And I think leaders can be a leader in a good way or bad way. The enforcer, that's a leader name, I'm telling you that. But it's up to us to see how we can change this police report from, you know, assaulter of the neighborhood kid to a leader and a proactive, good role model for the community.
Because trust me, I get tired of saying, get off my lawn!
Yeah. It is tiring. You know, that's something we will talk about too. I'm going to start a list of, as we go through this counseling, learning the negative side effects of being an enforcer. I mean, in one way, it gives you adrenaline rush. Yeah, I'm the enforcer. People get scared when they see me coming. But in another way, it is exhausting. It is tiring. I can't imagine how you've not collapsed. You know, you've lived in the neighborhood more than most of the people that have lived there. Your family's owned homes in the community. They're known, you know. So it's like, wow. You know, that's very exhausting. So we'll look at meeting together around the same time next week, if that works. And then you're going to kind of daydream about what a world might look like if you, just for your part, were able to be more proactive. I mean, what would it be like, for example, to take a survey of your neighbors? What would it be like to go to some school meetings? What would it be, you know, just to think about how things might be different if there were other alternatives than grabbing and punching someone or something like that?
It would be nice to finally not get asked, Leftwich, how have you lasted so long around here?
So, you up to the task? Imagine about
some. Let's do it.
Okay. So next week, same time, same office, same station.
Don't say same bat channel. Save that for Batman.
Okay. Okay. Well, it was good seeing you, and we will continue next week then.
All right, sounds good.
Okay. Bye. Take care.